And that's what it comes down to every single day of your life. Every single day of your life, doing things you don't want to do. The cold showers, the early runs, the runs in the cold, the late night gym sessions. From Boston, Mass, right outside of Boston, Wakefield, Massachusetts, to be exact. I just started recently posting on social media a few years back, and just really been sticking with short form motivational, inspirational clips. I posted a few of my outdoor workouts on Instagram, and I want to do more of that, as well as, you know, daily vlogs in the future. But really, I've just been, you know, posting some fitness and motivational content, and I want to really turn that into a career, and in the process, you know, inspire and motivate as many people as possible.
Yeah, I gotta admit, I've watched some of your videos. They really get your adrenaline pumping. Like, there was this video I watched of you. It was like, train as if someone or something in this world is also training, but to kill you, you'll never be outworked again. And then there was like this other video, so many people to prove wrong in like such a short little time. Those are crazy videos.
Yeah, man. I mean, I don't go viral a lot, but that one you talk about when I was on a run, I do remember filming that one. I don't go viral a lot, but I do remember the few ones that do. Anything that comes to mind, or even if I come across something, I try to rewrite it in my own words. I like using the audios on there to really, you know, get people's, you know, endorphins bumping and get them motivated and going. That's really what I do. But
you really don't go viral a lot, because every single video I see of you, you're getting like 70 to 100,000 likes.
Not recently, man. I don't know if it's like a shadow ban or whatnot. You know, I don't like to get me. I enjoy posting, to be honest with you. You know, these are quotes.
Yeah, dude, you got to keep it up. Those are amazing. I'm telling you.
I'm going to listen. I appreciate it, bro. And like, the bottom line is, even if I was getting zero views, I just enjoy doing it, bro. Because I read that myself, and I get myself into a zone. So I'm just glad.
Yeah, but like, how do you come up with this? Because you're like, every second that passes, hundreds of your competitors quit. Sometimes being the best is all about being the last man standing. Like, where do you come up with this? Is it just off the top of your head?
Some of them off the top of the head, but just a lot of them just from when I'm working out, or, you know, even sometimes I'm consuming a lot of content, put out a lot of content.
People's work word for word. But I'll hear something, I'll be inspired by it,
and I'll pull up my phone or I'll pull up my notebook and I'll write stuff down in my own words. And I try to write to, you know, keep them in quote form, but they sort of just come to me, man. I do take inspiration from a lot of other people as well.
Yeah, I have this whole list of podcast stories and like motivational things to bring up. Like, Devin, I don't think I've even told you about this, but like, I have this whole thing about like living in the future that I wanted to bring up, about fear. You know, there's this guy on TikTok named Yasin Tarabia. This guy like hit 1 million followers just putting quotes on Instagram or on TikTok. It's insane.
Yeah, I've seen him.
Yeah, you've seen him? Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I don't know.
He does what, seven times a day?
He posts, right? He posts seven times a day?
Yeah, he was like, there's this quote he put on. He was like, act like you can't even own the bread until you own the bakery.
Yeah, but the only thing about those guys, the reason why I feel like that dude blows up, though, is because like of the style and like the vibe of the video. He's taking quotes. Like, a lot of his quotes are good, but I've seen those quotes, you know, like word for word. Before it in like other places, so it's like there's nothing wrong with that, but I feel like the reason why that dude's balling, that vibe he's giving off, that style, that swagger,
I am so confused, because it's looking like he's in a new place every single day. It's like he's the richest guy in the world.
Yeah, I mean, that helps for sure, dude. People are interested.
I also want to talk about, you also completed this new challenge that Eric was telling me about before we filmed. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? I forget what it was called, but it sounds really intriguing.
Yeah, so 75 Hard on TikTok as well as Instagram. It's basically a challenge put out by the owner of a supplement company called First Form, Andy Frazella. He's the CEO, and he put out the challenge. And basically, straight days, you just do these, I believe it's 5 or 6 things daily. I have him right here. When I was
yeah, he wrote a book about it too, I think.
Right, that you were talking about. Hard book as well, yeah. But
yeah,
it's basically just, you know, drink a gallon of water a day. You got to get 2 workouts in. You know, one that's 45 minutes outside, one that's 45 minutes inside. You got to read 10 pages of a nonfiction book, and you have to stick to a diet. I believe no alcohol, and you got to stick to a diet. Of choice, or you just got to eat healthy for those 75 straight days. And it's just a challenge, and I enjoyed it, just because sometimes when you're going to the gym and you're trying to stay fit, it can be a little repetitive, it can be a little boring. And so when you up the stakes a little bit and you force yourself to join a community like that and push yourself to something like that, you gain a lot of discipline. You gain a lot of discipline in all areas, and that stuff translates to everything. It translates to school, it translates to family, to relationships, not just to the gym and not just eating. So I really enjoy challenges like that, and should really go check out that brand First Form. They do a lot of good things in the communities and with their supplements and even their clothing.
What do you think that the hardest part of that challenge, because there's a lot of restrictions that you mentioned. So I feel like if you're already lifting, or you're probably already getting close to enough water, if not enough water, you're probably eating right. So like, what do you think was the most hard part to stick to?
Dude, to be honest, 100%, I'll say this all day, it was the eating.
For me, I don't eat carbs, I don't eat bread. I want to eat.
I'm a dirty bulk, eating big and lifting big. But so that was definitely the hardest part for me, understanding, like, having to count my macros and keep my calories in check. The workouts,
I'm currently training to do the
marathon and stuff like that. So the workouts weren't hard. I was able to get outside on my runs and then in the gym later in the day. So that was a piece of cake for me. I could do that. I could do that for the rest of my life. It was just, yeah, for me, it was the eating.
Do you feel like it's that bulking, it's more physically demanding, and that cutting is more mentally demanding? Because I know I've heard that from a lot of gym influencer.
I'd agree with that, definitely. I mean, especially the cutting is more mentally demanding. You got to have, I mean, that's really discipline at the end of the day, man. That has nothing to do with genetics, has nothing to do with what you did in the gym. It has everything to do with whether you want to truly cut or not, you know, whether you want to truly lose weight or not, because, you know, that food doesn't end up in your mouth. You put it in your mouth, you know, using your fork, your spoon, your hand. So a lot of it is mental.
I thought bulking was more mentally demanding because, you know, I remember, I think I bulked for 4 months. I got up from around like 130 to 170. And it was every single time, like, I'd eat like 4,500 calories a day. And then it was just so hard because you just felt like throwing up after every single meal. And then every single bite, it just felt like more pain.
Both
of them are definitely
mentally challenged. Like, both of them will punch you physically and mentally. But bulking too, I mean, that's tough because you got to eat. I mean, you got to eat when you're not hungry too. Like, everyone can eat when they're hungry. You got to eat when certain, you know, calorie numbers or whatever to stay on track with that too. So, I mean, they're both physically.
Yeah, I would like feel nauseous when I worked out. It was just that bad.
Yeah, but the one good thing about, did you dirty bulk or was it like a cleaner bulk?
I did. I don't know what it was. I know it wasn't a lean bulk, but it was not a dirty bulk where I was eating like a ton of food just to get those calories. I was eating like chicken, rice, things like that, and then 5 eggs, 2 pieces of steak for breakfast, and then that would go all the way up to 4,500 calories by the end of the day. So I don't know what that was, but it was a clean bulk, definitely. I don't know about if it's like a lean bulk.
Yeah, personally, I think I'd rather, if I had to choose between the two and like put the aesthetics aside, if I had to choose between the two, I definitely want to be able to bulk for the rest of my life, just because I'd rather eat more than, you know, restrain myself from eating on some days, but that's just me.
Yeah, it's just more fun, I guess.
Yeah.
And you also mentioned that you were training to run marathons. Can you explain that too?
Yeah. So basically, I was when I grew up, when I was in middle school or whatever, I used to run cross country, and I was this little skinny kid. I probably weighed, I don't know, my senior year of high school, I probably only weighed like 150, 160 pounds, and I was really insecure about my body. I was really, I don't have the best genetics. I couldn't really put on muscle, and that's when I really fell in love with the gym. But just recently, after graduating college, you know, I think it was my sophomore or junior year of college, I came across David Goggins and what he does, and, you know, the races he runs, the ultra races, the marathons he's run. And I sort of fell in love with that style of training where it's sort of hybrid, where you're in the gym and you're working your ass off, you're lifting heavy, but you're also running, and you're pushing your heart and you're pushing your mind.
You read Can't Hurt Me?
What'd you say?
You read Can't Hurt Me, the book?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That's the best book, bro. That's the best book I've ever read. And that really changed.
I did not understand in that book how you would go, he could, he was like, I think he said he was 6'2", 215 or something when he ran that ultra marathon, and he had never like run one of those before and was somehow able to run 70 miles. And then he literally collapsed and was able to run another 30 miles. Like that part was crazy.
Bro, some of the things you'd read in that book, and it'd be like, he's got to be put like.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said. We had an episode about this. I told that to Devin. He was like.
He says that too in his audiobook, that when he rereads his stuff, he thinks that too. But dude, that's what I'm chasing. When I want, like, that's the beautiful thing about this hybrid training. You get to push your ass off in the gym, and you go out there and you're running 10, 15, 20 miles training for this thing. I want to eventually be able to run, do triathlons, Ironmans. There's something so fulfilling about training hard. To the limit, doing things that you never once thought you could do, just imagine the feeling he felt when, you know, he ran those races at that weight against all odds. Just
yeah, this was actually something I talked about in the Goggins episode we did, but I think when he came home after those 100 miles, he collapsed in the hot tub or something.
Yeah, that story in the tub, yeah, where he's pissing Coca-Cola or whatever, I think he said, or something like that.
Yeah, and then he was like, he told his ex-wife now, his ex-wife now, that he just wanted to enjoy the pain because it was like so exhilarating to him.
Yeah, dude, it sounds sadistic, but until you, I truly don't believe, until you do something like that, not maybe that exactly, but until you do something like that and feel that, just that feeling of fulfillment and of achievement. Like I can understand what he means by that, because I've been an athlete and I've done these things. I haven't done anything like that crazy against those kind of odds, but I know what he means. So I don't look at him as sadistic when he says something like that. I understand it, but it was a great story.
I thought it was pretty funny though, how the guy who said, who agreed to let him compete in this triathlon or something, or this ultra marathon, he said, "You only ran 19 hours of the thing, and the thing is supposed to be 24 hours. And then this guy's like lying in the hot tub and everywhere's broken.
It's fun. I think Chris Kleinman, I think his name was, dude. I've listened to the audio book. I've read the book. Yeah, I know. I remember everything, but that was a good part too, because he ended up running whatever, like the Vegas Marathon or something like that.
The Boston one, later. I think.
Oh, it was the Boston one. Yeah.
Yeah.
A week later.
A week, dude.
That's insane.
Yeah. It's just, but that's, I don't want to necessarily say I copy him, but I consider myself a disciple of him in terms of mindset, not in any way achievement wise yet. Like, I'm not even close to him in terms of what he's done. You know, he's decorated as, I mean, he was a Navy SEAL 3 times through Hell Week. He's done that, all the ultra runs, all the miles he's put on. I'm not that yet physically, but that's the kind of thing I try to preach on my social media, is just that you have so much more to give mentally. A lot of people just want to look at the physical side of things. They look in the mirror. They want to look at the aesthetic, and that's all great and all. But I enjoy training because it not only strengthens me physically, but it strengthens me more mentally. And I think a lot of people are missing out on that side of it.
How do you become that mentally hard, though? Like, that's something I always wanted to know. Like, how did Goggins do that? How did he develop that fortitude?
It's incredibly difficult to actually do, but it's very simple in concept. And what I mean by that is, to become harder, you have to do hard things day in and day out.
Doing things you don't want to do.
Exactly. The cutting, where you're controlling your calories and your macros and whatnot, all of those things, they harden you. They don't necessarily make you emotionless. They just make you more prepared and more weathered for the storms that, you know, life brings at you. And that's just the way it is. And that guy just did it to an ultimate level. And not to mention, I mean, he did grow up in an abusive household. He was three times through, you know, Navy SEAL training Hell Week, which is, I mean, some of the hardest physical, mental training a human being can go through. So, I mean, that stuff will all help. But that's really, like I always say, it's simple in concept, but you got to go through all that shit to earn it.
I think the gym influencer I feel like that your content resonates with the most, I think, is Joshua Valadez. You ever hear of him?
I have seen him on there. Yeah.
Yeah, you've seen him? Like, I feel like your videos are kind of like that in a way. He has, like, a different tone, I guess, to the videos, but I think your message is pretty much the same.
I've seen his videos. He's got a good following. He's got over 1 million, I think, on there. He was, like, one of the first – I'll take that as a compliment as well, because he was one of the first big ones on there to be sort of, like, fitness and motivational. I think I follow him as well on there as well. So he's a good dude, I think.
Yeah, I think all his content is about being like heartbroken and how that fueled him, I guess. But yeah.
Which, I mean, that's not a bad pre-workout either.
Yeah, I know.
That's all.
It does motivate you though. I gotta admit, it really, like, it's better than pre-workout. I think a lot of people say that.
You see it all over TikTok, whatever.
It feels like every single gym influencer, the number one reason they started working out is because they got their heart broken.
Oh, yeah. Or anyone, yeah. It's like a trend on there now to, you know, post a picture of their ex.
I didn't even know, like, someone like Alex Eubank, he started working out because he got his heart broken.
Yeah, it's another dude.
Yeah.
He's a really good dude, too.
And then for everyone, like, let's say someone's like heartbroken, right? And now they have a reason to come into the gym, or like at least according to them, a reason to come to the gym. How would you recommend that someone new starts like training and gets introduced to weightlifting?
I get asked, I've had tons of, you know, kids in my DMs, you know, a lot younger than me, just asking, you know, where do I start? How do I start and whatnot? And the number one thing I say is just start. You know, you don't need, I ask them, do you have a gym membership or do you not? And they tell me, if they tell me that they do, then just get in the gym. I'll give you a few beginner exercises. Get in there, do push-ups, get on the bench press, squat, do whatever. If you don't have a gym membership, that's fine. Get a pull-up bar, do push-ups, do pull-ups. You can't sit there and think. I mean, you know, we overthink and we overschedule. We over, you know, overplan everything. Just get in the gym and lift. Just start. Look it up. Look at the resources. I mean, YouTube, Google. Go on YouTube. Look up beginner chest workout. Look up beginner pull workout, push workout, and take a few exercises from there, three sets of 8 to 12, and do them, and build, work your way up, progressively overload. It's not that difficult. Trust me, people, the information is all around us. We just have to be willing to. I mean, and if you're willing to, if you want it bad enough, you'll find a way to figure out, you know, how to get the job done, if you have a gym membership and if you don't.
I feel like nowadays, especially with all the different fitness influencers, especially on YouTube too, I think it's very easy to start, relatively easy to start. And I feel like a lot of people also kind of use that as a way to procrastinate starting going to the gym. Like, I don't know where to start or whatever. Because there's a lot of basic plans that you can get online, and even basic diet plans too.
Yeah, and I would say you don't even need a plan though. It's just, you know, just pick – figure out what split you're going to do, whether it's push, pull, legs, you want to do chest, maybe chest, back, arms, shoulders, legs, whatever it may be. Figure out a plan, you know, pull out your notes on your phone. Everyone's got a smartphone nowadays, do they not? If you don't, pull out a piece of paper, write it down on the paper. It's not that people, we like to overthink, think and plan and plan, but we don't like to act on it. I mean, that might be, don't want it as bad, but it's,
yeah,
trust me, it's much simpler to get started today and get motivated to start doing that stuff today than it was, you know, 20, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's good now too that a lot of people are posting more fitness content on YouTube and TikTok and everything. I feel like it's starting to motivate more people to go to the gym as well. Like, I know a lot of people that started going to the gym because, you know, they've been motivated by their favorite fitness influencers and things like that. Like, a lot of people take inspiration from that.
Yeah, especially on TikTok too. It's crazy how the fitness niche is just – I've never seen it blow up like that anywhere else.
It's gone insane. Like, I remember watching YouTube probably like last year or 2 years ago, and there wasn't that much fitness-related content like on my stream. And then now it's like,
it's every single video.
Yeah. So many shorts of so many different influencers every day. It's just like, it's actually insane. There's a lot of people who do like supplement stuff. There's a lot of people who call out other people. It's just a whole expanding niche with like different subgenres within it. It's pretty crazy.
The only thing I do love to see that. The only thing I don't like to see in the one
on TikTok is just like
how steroids, arms especially, has been pushed around there, especially around younger guys.
Yeah, a lot of the guys I looked up to, I couldn't believe, like, when I found out so many of these trends. It was insane.
It's like, and all it's the fake natty stuff is starting to
– touchy topic, too, but, like, if you're – with your followers, then that's understandable. But the guys who hide it and try to say – not that I just lose all respect for those type of people, because they don't realize you got high school following you and, you know, looking up to you and thinking they can achieve what you have naturally, and that's just not right.
Yeah,
I was on TikTok the other day and I saw this 14-year-old. He said he started using Trent and he was like literally.
I saw that.
You saw that? Yeah.
It's ridiculous, man. Ridiculous. That's 14. What,
like, where do you even get your hands on that at 14?
And they have no clue what they're doing. Even know what the cycles mean or anything like that. I don't. The way I've always looked at it is like this, and maybe performance. A lot of people are in it for the aesthetics. I get that. A lot of people have disease, you know. For me, I care about how I look, obviously, but I care more about how I perform, how strong I am, you know, how fast am I running out of my runs, and just the overall fit I am. And think about, I don't compete, and I don't ever plan on competing in bodybuilding or anything like that. It's cheating. It's using something to get you to somewhere. It would be
I don't like
the idea of taking stuff like that. Work your ass off you can achieve naturally, then it is what it is. I mean, I guess I understand the people who can why they take it, because they do it for a living.
Does everyone who competes, like, do they take it, do you think? Or
I think
at a high level, yeah.
Really? Yeah. Like someone like Chris Bumstead, like, does he take it, do you think?
Oh yeah.
Dude, of course. No one can achieve that.
But it's just if you're just lifting, man, and you just do it for the love of it, like, lifting changed my life. I'm not going to do this artificially. I'm not going to take something that's, even if I hit my natural, like, mm-hmm. I have yet, like, I enjoy doing it because it's not all about the physical for me. It's about the mental side of me. Like, when how you put in the good work and stuff like that. And I think a lot of people are losing out on that. They're just all getting physical aspect of it.
Yeah. I don't think, like, every single bodybuilder does it, because I know we just got, like, Chris Elkins on the podcast. Like, you know him? I think he's big in the industry.
Is he on social? I don't think I've heard. Maybe.
Yeah, he's like the 4-time WNBF bodybuilding champion.
Chris Elkins. Like, I'm going to check him out.
Yeah. Yeah, he's natural. Okay. He's, like, 37 years old. He literally worked out for, like, 17 years, and he looks.
Wait, did he say he was natural?
Yeah. Uh-huh. He's literally natural. His transformation is actually crazy.
Dude, nothing about, like, the bodybuilding sport, to be honest with you. Like, I'll just scroll on TikTok. That's where I get, like, anything bodybuilding. But, like, I'm assuming there's, like, different, like, divisions or whatever. Like, natural divisions.
Yeah,
like,
I think he probably competes in
someone be natural competing against someone on, like, gear or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, he's probably not going to compete in, like, Mr. Olympia, because everyone there would use steroids.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he competes in WNBF.
Yeah, that's probably
I feel like also that's why, like, somebody like Noah Daisel is getting a lot of followers, because he's transparent about his views. And so, like,
yeah,
and especially because he has a large, like, yeah, because he has a large following that's, like, really young. And so, not setting, that's the thing, like, the fake naturals get called out for, like, setting unrealistic expectations for people that, especially that are really young, too.
And yeah,
you know, and you can still look great without. You know, without using steroids and stuff, if you're not, especially if you're not competing too, then
exactly. And another issue, people want to take it because they start comparing themselves to others, and they're like, "Oh, this guy looks like this, like, I need to take it now to get on his level or to surpass him or whatever." And it's just like, I think that's the hardest thing to do in general in life, but especially when it comes to fitness, it's just not to compare yourself and just focus on, you know, look where you were at 2 to 3, 4 years ago. You know, forget about. And where anyone else is at, you've come a long way already naturally. Just stay that way, you know?
Yeah, because everybody has different genetics too. Everybody has different genetics. Some people respond better to certain types of training. Like, there's so many variables that I feel like if you're going to compare yourself to anyone in fitness, it should just be yourself and where you were, you know, however many months, years ago, and see what progress you're making. And I feel like that's the best motivation too. It's like seeing old photos and, like, seeing where you've come is just like, it shows that for you, like, what you're doing is working. And that, you know, it just pushes you to go even further.
Not to mention some of the stuff that's out there, the SARMs, the trend, whatnot. I mean, a lot of these things are, like, fairly unstudied or whatever, you know, unresearched. And we're having 14, 15, 16-year-olds take them. Yeah. I don't think that sounds like a good idea. So that's the one thing. If I had one knock on the fitness industry, especially on TikTok, that's what I would say. I wish there was more, a little bit more of a pushback on things like that.
Even with supplements too, I feel like certain times people get scammed into taking certain supplements that they think will help them out a lot, when in reality they might not be doing as much as they think.
Dude, honestly, I take a little, I'll cycle on and off of creatine, and I'll take whey protein. Like, for me, one, maybe I'll mix in, you know, a few vitamins, whatnot. Like ashwagandha, I've seen that has good, but I keep it simple. Just make sure you have protein, you're taking it, you know, and then creatine's good too, 5 milligrams a day.
Exactly, yeah, and creatine's, like, natural.
Right.
Being things like that.
You know, it's research. Yeah. Like, it's research, it's safe, you know. That's, like, a lot of people take creatine, that's very understandable. And you're still natural, you take creatine, so.
100%.
But yeah, that's, like, the one thing that I feel like a lot of people have been starting to call out more and more in the fitness industry. I feel like the more transparent it gets, the better it's going to be, just because, you know, I feel like it'll just have so much more value to people, and, like, it won't just be fake, and, you know, people actually start to take more meaning from it, I feel like.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, that's how you'd want anything to be, though. And that's what I don't think people realize is that just it's than just looking good. It's just about, it's also about feeling good and being healthy, being fit. And who knows that those things can provide that for you 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the line. Was it really worth it to have a little bit bigger biceps, maybe a little bit wider chest, maybe a little bit more, bigger legs? When your health is deteriorating, years down the line, like it's not re I, it's not for me. It's certainly not re for anyone, for myself or anyone I know and love to take it and hop, whatever. It's just to me, the risk outweighs the reward.
Yeah, I think it's like that for a lot of people too. That's why a lot of natural influencers are starting to come up more as well. And I feel like, they set more realistic expectations. Like they still look great. Like either way, I feel like people forget, like you can still look great just being natural. Like you don't need to hop on stuff, even if you don't have the best genetics. It's very possible to look great. And even like with that challenge you were talking about too, people doing things like that and just like overall improving themselves and like their mental capabilities and everything like that. That's much more worth it, especially in the short run and in the long run.
Do you think it's because people want instant gratification? They want the instant reward and they're not willing to wait long term?
I mean, that could be part of it, but I will admit, if you do hop on that stuff, you do have to put in a certain amount of work to see, those extended, improvements. I'd say part of it though, it's just people. Especially the younger people. Like I can understand if you hit your natural limit and then like, oh, you want to compete and you feel like you can't compete unless you hop on it, hop on gear or whatever. But the people who are young, like the people who kids who like the kid who's 14 or even 15, 16, anyone in high school, even anyone in college who hasn't really hit their natural limit, it doesn't make sense for me to me that you take something like that. To me, if anything, like you said, it shows me that you're not you're not willing to grind it out and put in the work, as a natural over the next few years before making a decision like that. You just want all the, all the prizes now.
I feel like, especially if you haven't hit your natural limit, that especially in that 14 year, like there's so much more left in the tanks though. Like you don't even know how much more you could still hit without, especially if you're working out that much to the point where you think that you should start taking like whatever trainer gear. There's so much more still left in the tank for you that you're probably not going to hit your natural potential for years and years to come. So I don't know. I don't understand it.
I agree with you, man. It's just puzzling
To me, it's just if you're in the sport, I get it. If you're competing, if it's how you provide for your family, I get it, and if it's required. But
to go to the gym and,
you post a few pictures on IG, a couple times, like stay
probably
true to
not.
yourself, stay natural, and just work your ass off.
Yeah. Also, I wanted to ask you, so with marathon running, this is a question I had before. Have you changed your diet at all to accommodate that? 'Cause I know people who like start marathon running and stuff, I've seen they start to eat more fats in their diet and start to like, lower carbs, more fat to get more of their calories from. Have you done that? Is that like something that a lot of runners do?
I've had to definitely switch it up. I would say, but the thing is, I hitting myself with carbs before my workouts. So before my workouts in the gym or before my runs, I'm really obviously the rest of the day I am trying to get in those healthy fats and those in that protein as well to recover. But I think another thing is
Aside from nutrition.
nutrition. Part of recovery is sleeping as well. It's getting not just a good
7, 8 hours, but it's getting
good quality sleep as well. And as well as that, it's just also
going.
it's
The myofascial.
release. It's I use lacrosse balls to sometimes dig into knots in my legs and stuff like that. I'll roll on that. A Theragun, that's another thing that people a lot of people look past. The nutrition is great, and the nutrition will take you to the top for sure, but recovery isn't just nutrition. It's a lot of things combined. And but for sure, I've had to definitely revamp my diet and make sure I'm paying a little bit closer attention, because running 15 plus for a marathon, 26.2 miles is a little bit different than just going to the gym for, you know, 2 hours.
So how often do you train to run? Like, how often do you run, you know, 10, 15 miles?
The thing about that is you're not, unless it's, I'm not there on that phase yet. I'm still ways out from running my first marathon. I'm just trying to build up my miles now. So right now on an average day, an easy run now would be anywhere from, like, I'd say 4 to 6 miles. And some of my harder runs right now are upwards of 10. But a lot of it is just track. 800 meter repeats, or you're running 4 meters. You're doing interval training where you're sprinting a certain amount of time to really get the heart rate going. You know, it's realized it, but when you're training for something like that, you're training your heart, and you want to train your heart and your lungs sort of the same. It really comes down to you can't overload yourself, because that's overtraining, just like you would in the gym. You sort of have to be smart with it, slowly build up your heart rate. I'm not running. I'm never running at 100% on these runs, obviously, because I wouldn't be able to sustain that. I'm usually running anywhere from 50% of my full capacity to really condition my heart, condition it, just like we do in the gym with our muscles. You know, we go in there and we slowly, the bench press,
5, 10, 15 pounds.
That's what I'm doing with my runs right now, and I'm just building up. But it's I'd say there's a lot of similarities between that and the gym.
Yeah, I haven't really gotten into running. Running is just always one of the things that, like, I just never like to do. Like, I like sprinting, but I don't know. Long-term running, I feel like, takes a lot of discipline just to do in the first place. But maybe that's just me. Like, I know Eric runs sometimes to train for, you know, legs and things like that, but
I don't know. I run, like, 3 to 6 miles a day. Like, that's something I've been doing for a while now. And then I just, like, run around my neighborhood and stuff. But I don't know. When I'm near – like, that final mile, it just starts to hurt so much. And then I'm just, like, out in my neighborhood, like, yelling quotes and stuff to keep me going. I'm like, hey, this weakness leaving my body. And then I'm like, my neighbor's looking at me weird. But, yeah, it's I feel like it's pretty rewarding.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, no one – like, I meet very few people who enjoy running. That's the thing. I don't like running either, to be honest, dude. Like, when I was in college, we played football. I remember I couldn't run long distance because, like, everything was just quick and explosive, and it's sprint speed. And so, like, I never thought I'd run again, but I just came back around to it. I read David Goggins' book, and it's funny how we just something I hate, and that's what a lot of people do. It's just, like you said, there's something so fulfilling about it, something so rewarding about it, because it is so
it's challenging. Like, you get a feeling of exaltation after you've completed it.
Seriously, dude, and people can't understand that until you do something. Anything that you don't like, anything that's uncomfortable to you, and you do it on a consistent basis, and you push yourself while doing it, that feeling of fulfillment it's almost indescribable. You got to experience it yourself. And that could be the gym for some people. So comfortable in the gym, you know, going in there, maybe a PR or whatnot, doing it.
Yeah, I know that a lot of people, they say that the gym is like therapy to them. It's their sanctuary in a sense.
Exactly, but I remember when I was young too. For me, that is what it is. But from when I was young, I scared up. I didn't want to go in there and get judged. In there, it's like,
well, I don't feel like anyone really cares about how much you lift in the gym anymore.
But yeah. That's like a subconscious thing, though.
Well, I mean, I think as it's become more like popular too, as you see on social media and stuff like that, it's just become more like normalized too. I think, like, it's almost like you're out of the norm if you don't, you know, if you're not going to the gym and if you're not at least trying and striving to be more healthy.
I feel like also what deters a lot of people from going to the gym, like Eric said, is like people are afraid that other people at the gym are going to be looking at them because, like, oh, like, you know, they might not be in the best shape or whatever. But I feel like that's all.
If you're going to the gym,
I really don't think anybody looks at anybody else differently at the end of the day.
The way I think about it, I'm like, everyone starts somewhere, right? So yeah, exactly. I'm not going to, like, judge someone differently for starting, because that means they're taking steps to improve their life.
Gotcha.
That's the thing. It's like, there are some assholes out there who are just there to judge, like, project negativity on people. But I'd say that's just a lie we tell ourselves. You know, people are watching me. I'm being judged. You know, and all that. If you're afraid to go to the gym because you're afraid of what people, you know, are going to say about you or what they're going to think of you, just ask yourself what their opinion a day, a month, a year from now. It's so dumb. Just I promise you, once you get started and you get going, you won't regret it.
And I feel like also having a gym buddy helps as well. Like going to the gym with one of your friends who's like more well-versed in the gym, I feel like is really helpful.
I don't know. I thought training alone was always better.
I
feel like when you're getting started.
Yeah.
Training alone, it kept you more focused, I guess. Like you're just, sure. Yeah.
I'm more of a fan of that just because, I don't know. I've gone to the gym with people and they'll just chew your ear off in between sets and it's like, finish on my set.
Yeah,
I'm gonna talk. You know,
and it's like I know, like even
bring me out of the zone. Yeah. I gotta get back into the zone. It's like just leave me alone. Let me listen to my music and get after it. You know,
I know a lot of influencers too. Like you ever hear of Joe Schulk?
Yeah.
So that guy talked about how he trained 4 years alone, and then that's when he started posting because he needed those 4 years alone to really get started and to be locked in, no distractions, like that mindset you're talking about right now.
Yeah, and it's not bad to have a buddy. I mean, I know a lot of people they hold each other accountable.
But yeah.
If that person's not showing up one day and you got to go hit legs, you better not be, you know, want to be there. You show up without them. That just has to be. I mean, that's where discipline comes into play. But just don't rely on them for your accountability and for you.
It's good to have someone
if they're you know pushing you, if they're providing knowledge and whatnot. But personally, I'm a guy who likes to go alone.
I think though, like I have a gym in my basement as well, and I like working out alone, just like with the music and stuff. But I feel like for beginners and somebody who's got like that, you know, subconscious, like I think people are judging me mentality, I think that's when that could be really useful. Because I also prefer working out alone because I feel like I'm just more focused. But for that situation, I feel like there's an exception.
I mean,
but it's also like subjective.
Yeah, it is. It really comes down to the person. They like when they first start off, they do like going. They like being with people just because I think it's just they feel more confident around other people. But I think as they continue to go and they realize that it's not as scary as they once thought and they're in there you know, more and more at the gym and whatnot, and realize that, you know, all these things that they were telling themselves about how people are judging them and everyone's watching you when in all reality, you know, they're focused on, you know, getting their work in on the treadmill or getting their work in, you know, on their bench and whatnot. They're not looking at you. Once you start to go, you know, and realize that, then it's like, okay, it sort of becomes like a job and you go there either by yourself, you know, just to get the work in and get the work done.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of those kind of myths surrounding the gym. Like for one of them, for example, like there's everyone who compliments you in the gym is a dude. There's no girls that compliment you. Only guys.
Trust me, that's and those guys too. Like the majority of those guys, like guy in the gym, like you'll get, like I said, you'll get the assholes in a while. But like a lot of those guys in there, they wanna see you using the right form, and they want to help you. Like they're because. Right, man. Everyone was, you know, we've all been at the bottom, and you see the biggest guy in the gym. They're usually the kindest because they understand what it took to get to where they're at now, and they were in your shoes once, you know, at the beginning. So, it's especially with the guys, you know, they understand. So you got nothing to be.
No, I agree. I think that. You know, I just feel like once people start going to the gym and stuff, it just opens up like a whole new world for a lot of people. And it kind of sucks in the beginning.
Start enjoying
like lifting more. Just it makes you feel good. And then especially when you hit a PR too that you work really hard to hit, you know, that also feels very motivating. And so, you know, I feel like the gym is just like another world for people that, you know, a lot of people should just check out and just, you know, I think it's very beneficial to a lot of people for sure.
It's a great place if you lack confidence and if you're insecure. I'll tell you that you can go in there. You can earn your own. I always say you earn your own in putting in a good workout and completing and getting that pump, eating well after, you earn your respect, and that's how you gain confidence. You do things that you don't want to do, and you do them well. And I mean, that help, that can help you. Again, like I said, a good workout in the gym translates to everything in life. It translates to work. It translates to relationships, to business, to school.
Mm-hmm.
You can carry that mentality over into everything.
Yeah, you got to treat the gym like a lesson. And it's something, I guess, that, yeah, I've seen a lot of people say that too, where it applies to every single aspect of your life. It makes you, like, is how you do anything is how you do everything.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good quote. I've seen that one before too. And it's true. It's so true. And people just don't. There's another quote that goes, if you can't make your bed in the morning, how the hell are you supposed to, you know, conquer yourself? You can't even make your bed. You know, you want all the cars, you want all the money, you want all the fame, but you get out of your bed, you roll out of your bed, and you leave it unmade. Like,
yeah, if you can't do the easy things right, then how are you going to do the hard things right?
Exactly. And it's so true. So every single thing, you know, whether you're at the gym or you're making your bed, or I don't know, something like 75 hard too is when you make that promise with yourself to get those tasks done every day. You know, you're telling me you can't read 10 pages of a nonfiction book every day. Like, those little commitments, you know, they go a long way and they translate to everything.
Yeah, I think this was, I don't know if this was you that posted this, but there was this quote that said, the only way to fight a monster is to become one. I don't know if that was you.
I don't think I posted something like that, but I've probably seen it. Not that exact one, but I understand the philosophy behind that, and it makes sense. It's basically saying, if you want to overcome insecurities, you have to be willing to face them face to face and be willing to go toe to toe with them. For me, when I was young, my biggest insecurity was being skinny. I couldn't put on muscle. I wanted to play football, but I had the skinniest arms on the team and the skinniest legs, and I had no muscle to show for. And so that was my insecurity. That was my demon. And I worked naturally that I wasn't going to be that kid anymore. I wasn't going to be the skinny kid anymore. That was the twig. And I put in the hours in the gym, in the kitchen, ton of peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And, you know, I overcame that monster. Now I'm still battling that monster to this day, because every time I look in the mirror, I always say I want
body dysmorphia. Yeah,
but it's a good monster to battle, and I'll take that battle to the grave. So,
and Devin, you got anything else to add?
No, I think I asked all my questions.
Yeah, same. Thank you for coming in. That was I liked that episode.
I appreciate you guys for having me.